chapter 12,
thank you, Lord.
Verses 7 to 8. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 7 to 8, or 7 to 10, I'm sorry. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, when you get there, let us all stand as we show reverence to the word of the Lord. You know, we got these allergies going around, and it's all in my throat. And so the enemy is not going to come at what you don't use to bring glory to God. And so I ask that you pray my strength in the Lord. If you don't have your Bibles, the Word of God is right on the screen so that you can follow along with us. Before we read, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we do bless you and we thank you, Lord, for your Word. We thank you, Lord, that your Word is a lamp unto our feet. And it is a light unto our pathway. Lord, we need your word.
Yes, Lord.
And so, Father, speak your word to us today. Help us, O God, to not just hear it, but to do what it says. And, Father, we thank you and we give you glory for the work that you do in us and through us. Father, yes, I've studied, but I need your strength. Yes, Lord, I have prepared, but I need your power. Speak now, Lord, as only you can. That we might be healed because of what this word has to say to us. And so, Father, fill me with your spirit that I might speak your word under your anointing power, that today we may be changed because of what we have heard and received on this day. Father, we do bless you and we praise you and honor you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. We say amen. 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 Remain standing. Come on, let's give the Lord some praise. Amen. Remain standing. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 7 to 10. And the Apostle Paul is writing to the believers in the church, the Christian church in Corinth. And he says, lest I should be exalted above measure by the abundance of the revelation. A thorn in my flesh was given to me, a messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I be exalted above measure.
Yeah, yeah.
Concerning, in verse 8, concerning this thing, I pleaded with the Lord three times that it might depart from me. Verse 9. And he said to me, my grace. Somebody shout, my grace.
My grace.
And he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, most gladly, I would rather boast in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Verse 10. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in needs, in persecutions, and distress, and in distress, for Christ's sake, for when I am weak, then I am made strong. Amen. You all may be seated. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I want you to turn to somebody, and I want you to tell somebody that God's grace is amazing. Turn to somebody else and tell them God's grace is amazing.
God's grace is amazing.
Now throw your heads back and shout hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Father.
As I was writing, as the Lord was giving me this message, and as I was studying, one of the things that the Lord put on my heart is to really share a real example of the kind of grace that God gives. My wife and I, when our boys were little, we had the opportunity by the grace of God to go to Disney World. And as we walked around the park that entire day, and if you've ever been to an amusement park, amusement parks are for young people. And so as we walked around the amusement park, we decided to take a seat and get something to eat. And as we were eating, probably 10 minutes into us eating, a lady came by in a vest that she looked like she worked at the park. And she asked us our family's name. And so we gave her our family's name and said, you know, we're the Harrises. That's my wife. These are our two boys. And the lady said to us, you know, we are picking people or families for a parade. And so we're thinking that we're going to get the opportunity to stand up close on the street to see the parade. And so the lady asked us, would you be interested in doing something like that? And so we didn't know what to expect, so we just agreed. We just said, yes, you know. The lady asked us to stand, and she walked us into this back area, you know, behind the park area, and walked us into this place to put on a vest or something, and so a little safari hat. And so after we put that on, we sat there probably for 8-10 minutes. The lady left. We were really the only family that looked like we were back there. And so after the few minutes went by, the lady came back to us, and she said, follow me. And so we get up, and we follow her out of this closet area at the park into this big area where the parade, what do you call them? The parade floats were all sitting connected to each other. And so we're walking by all of these parade folks. Now, nobody is on these parade floats yet. Other families we see getting on the first one, the second one. And so the lady walks us all the way to the last one. And she said, you all will be on this parade float. So we get on there feeling crazy with a safari hat on and a safari vest, saying to probably, and I don't know if we've even said this, but what in the world are we doing? But we may have thought it. Our sons, of course, they didn't matter to them. They were excited. But we were, as parents, like, what is going on? And so this gate opens up before the parade floats go out. And then all of the Disney characters are getting on certain floats. And the very last float, what we did not know, was the most important float. Because Mickey Mouse, the character Mickey Mouse and Minnie Mouse, got on the last float with us. And so you can imagine, you know, after seeing, and we saw a few of the parades, but you can imagine being on the float with Mickey and Minnie Mouse's characters, that everybody that saw us thought that we were super important. Let the church say amen. And so I want us to understand that the grace of God is really unmerited favor. And so we didn't ask for that. We didn't petition for it. We didn't even walk around with our chest poked out saying, we're going to do this, we're going to do that. But it was given to us freely without us even asking. And so I want you to understand that the grace of God is the unmerited favor of God that we receive at the point of salvation. And understand what I'm talking about. It is the goodness of God toward those who have no claim to it. Turn to somebody and say, I don't even deserve it. But look at him. But yet he gives me favor. Not only is the person who is granted and given the goodness of God, not only can we take no claim in it, but the other piece of this is it is given to us without reason for expectation. Right. Yeah. Amen. Not only do I not deserve, help us, Lord Jesus. Yeah. Not only do I not deserve the grace of God, but even if I thought about receiving God's favor, I'm still unworthy of it if he doesn't give it to me freely. Amen. Amen. And so we can never forget in Paul's writings that God is the subject of grace, and he gives grace freely without merit. Oh, help us understand that, Lord. Without you doing anything, without you asking for it, without you even inquiring about it, what God does freely is he says, I know that you're in need of something. And listen, even if you don't ask me for it, even if you understand that you are undeserving of it, I'm going to give it to you. Why? Because favor is in the hands of the Lord. Favor. That's what grace is. And so often when we talk about grace, we talk about it in the after effect. Like, I hope the grace of God moved. No. But what Paul is talking about is grace in the present effect, so that we understand that grace doesn't happen after we do something that we ought not do. That grace does not happen after we make a decision that does not glorify God. That grace is before all of that. And that is the reason why we don't lose our minds or lose everything we have because of our decisions. Because the favor of God is with the person who believes in God. And if we believe in God and we trust who God is, then God's favor comes without request. Oh, help us, Lord. Help us, Lord. See, much of Paul's ministry focused on grace. And if anybody had the opportunity to know how the goodness of God is, it was Paul. Paul was shipwrecked. When Paul went places, they were always after him to kill him. You know, Paul was not even received by the disciples even after Jesus changed and transformed him. And so Paul spent time in prison. Everything that Paul represented was about God showing him favor in the midst of everything that could go wrong. I feel like I'm talking to somebody this morning. And so Paul says in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 7, he said, but to each one of us, grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. In other words, God's favor has been given to each of us. It was measured out at the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus to be given to us when he resurrected. And so therefore, as Christians, we have to understand that God's favor is always with us. Listen, you can't get it out of you. Listen, you can't move the grace of God out of your life if you are a Christian. The fact of the matter is that you are still breathing this earth's air is a clear indication that you are still walking in the grace of God. Because God, not only is it been given freely to us, but it is unmerited that you have not done anything for it. But yet you and I are the recipients of it. And so in the text, Paul is sharing an experience prior to verse 7 where he shares an experience about a man that he knew who had been caught up to meet God in paradise, and how this man saw the heavens and how he had received some of the language of the heavens. And the scripture says that he heard things that no earthly man or person should have ever heard, because God had caught him up in the heavens. And this was a revelation that Paul was sharing with the believers in Corinth of his experience. And so if anybody has the right to boast about the goodness of God, it was Paul. Amen. If anybody had the responsibility of sharing with folks how wonderful God was, it was Paul. And so Paul is saying, I've received the revelation from God, but who am I to make myself better than you, because God has revealed to me some things that he has not revealed to you. I'm talking to somebody. And so we see the narrative where the Apostle Paul shares with the believers the importance of the favor or the grace of God based on how God blesses and moves in the life of every believer. And so there are two things. We may just get to one of them today. There are two things that we need to know about having this amazing grace. Turn to somebody and say, God's grace is amazing.
God's grace is amazing.
First thing, look at verse 9. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. The first thing that we have to understand, look at verse 9. Paul says, and he said, talking about Jesus, and he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you. And so one of the things that we've got to understand, first thing, is having God's amazing grace should help us humble ourselves. You know, part of our biggest challenge as believers is we get a little bit of who God is, and then we think that we are better than everybody else that don't have it. Somebody shout amen.
Amen.
I mean, we'll wear Count Dracula crosses on our necks. We'll do everything we can to show somebody an outward appearance that we are sanctified and that we are saved. And you let somebody come to us. And see, this is part of the larger church's challenge. You let somebody come up to that person that doesn't look like they look or smell like they smell, then we are automatically on the judgment because we think that after you get Jesus, you ought to be just like me. Turn to somebody and say, no, 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 no. After we get Jesus, we ought to be just like Jesus.
Yeah. Amen.
And so we have to humble ourselves.
Yes.
See, this grace that operates in the goodness or the goodwill of God toward us is sufficient. Mm-hmm. You have to understand that sometimes we're praying that God will give us more, but guess what? Everything that God has given you and I is sufficient. You have sufficient strength. You have sufficient authority. Everything that we have that has been given to us spiritually, what Paul is saying, it is sufficient. And so glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Look at verse 7. Look at verse 7. Hallelujah. So, and Paul says this. He says, unless I should be exalted above measure by my abundance of the revelations, a thorn in my flesh was given to me, a messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I be exalted above measure. What is the buffet in your flesh? What is the thing? See, you might see, we so often we're saying, well, the devil this and the devil that. And well, here we see that Paul makes a statement about God giving the enemy permission to keep that thorn in his side. So what is your thorn this morning? That wherever you go, you know that it ain't about you. When people talk to you, that you're still kind and friendly, even though they may owe you something or may have done you wrong. What is the thing that God is using today, this morning, to buffet your flesh? Because if you can't name it, you just keep getting up in the morning and God will use something to buffet your flesh because you think you're better. So, and so Paul makes it clear that I could boast, but I won't. Well, I could talk about the revelation that God has given to me. You got to remember that in Acts chapter 9, Paul saw Jesus on the road of Damascus. And Jesus was not just in his vision. Jesus was literally on the road with all of his, listen, with all of his resurrected glory appeared to Paul on the road to tell him how wonderful he was and what he wanted Paul to do. And so if anybody had the right to say, not only can I take claim to knowing who he is, but Jesus came to me in all of his glory and revealed himself to me. Oh, I could boast if I really wanted to. And see, so we get a little bit of Jesus. We get a little bit of scripture. And then we walk around boasting about who we are. But Paul is saying that don't boast in your flesh.
Amen.
Amen.
Mm.
Amen.
If you're going to boast, he said, boast about Jesus. But boast about what God is able to do. And so God's whatever he does toward us is sufficient to strengthen and comfort us and to support and protect us in all afflictions and distress. Listen, Paul writes in Philippians chapter 1, verse 6. He says, being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. What are we concerned about? That's why his grace is so amazing. You have to understand historically, John Newton was the writer of that hymn, Amazing Grace. And you got to understand, John Newton, as a young man, before he wrote this, as a young man, he got involved in the slave trade in the 17th century. And so one day he was on a slave ship and the weather had tossed the ship to and fro that it frightened him so much that when he got on land, he quit working as a slave trader, gave his life to the Lord, and then became a very instrumental abolitionist against slavery. Listen to what I'm saying. And so him being an author and writer, when he wrote this hymn, he was not writing it about somebody else's experience. He wrote it about his own experience. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. And so God's grace is amazing because it can change somebody from the worst of them to the best of them. Turn to somebody and say, God's amazing grace.
God's amazing grace.
And so when we make mistakes, when we have faults in our lives, when we don't do the very thing that God calls us to do, yeah, glory to God. Thank God for Jesus, because if it wasn't for Jesus, there would be a consequence. Oh, help us, Lord. But what God does, and we are standing here today, sitting here today, recipients of God's grace, because what should have killed us, God used it to help make us better. I mean, what should have wiped us out. And see, that's why we don't have to ask for more, because he's doing the work, not you and I. And so whatever we're in need of, God will supply. Listen, I don't have to work 10 jobs because God can take the little bit of what I have and can multiply it and use it that he would be glorified. See? My grandmother used to always say, you can't help nobody with a closed hand. The only thing you can do with a closed hand is fight. And see, most of what we do in our relationship with God, because we don't understand that God gives us favor, that God shows us favor, that he blesses us when we don't deserve it, that he moves us in his authority when we don't even receive it fully. He helps us to understand that he is in control when we are absolutely oblivious of God moving in our lives. But I used to hear my grandmother say, oh, I thank God for his grace. And I didn't understand what she was talking about, but oh, I understand now. Because if we lined up all the things that we've done wrong, glory to God, if we've lined up all the things that we fell short in, see, when you understand that favor is not given based on you being the favorite. Help us, Lord, help us. Because what we want is to be God's favorite, but God's saying, all of y'all are my favorite. And so favor will even go to somebody that feel like they're not God's favorite. If I'm talking to anybody, just shout amen.
Amen.
And so we have to humble ourselves. See, in verse 7, the Apostle Paul makes an account of the methods God took to keep him humble. And I know you think sometimes, yeah, I'm good. I got it all together. But guess what? You may have lost that job because God was trying to make you humble. Oh, glory to God. He may have moved the relationship because he wanted you to see him and humble yourself. See, sometimes we look at the things that we don't have and we say, well, Lord, I must have done something wrong. No, sometimes God is removing stuff because you're too high and mighty, and to get your day, to get our attention, he got to sometimes take some stuff. And say, give me that. Well, you ain't humble yet. Give me that. Then he said, give me that. And then he'll impact, he'll permit it to happen. He'll impact your health. Oh, give me that. He'll take your job. Oh, give me that. He'll use everything in our lives to bring us to a point of full, listen, a full submission. Listen, this relationship with God is not a part-time relationship. You and I can't say, well, you know, I'm part humble. And then the moment you get an opportunity to get on stage, it's all about you. And I'm going to tell you, if you're talking to a real born again, filled with the Holy Spirit believer, you're not going to fool them. Because you can talk about how wonderful God is. Oh, God is so great. God is so wonderful. And then when the spotlight is on you, instead of you being a reflector and reflecting light, you're trying to become the light itself. See, that's the one thing I love about reflectors. When I was a little boy, I used to want to put a lot of them on my bicycle. Because if I was ever riding my bike at night in a car, they would know I was in the street, hear me? That's how many reflectors I had on my bicycle. I had a whole bunch of them on the rims. I put it anywhere I could put a reflector, I put it. Because I knew that the moment light hit it, it would respond to the light that was hitting it. And all a reflector does is reflect it. You remove the light, the reflector can't do anything. And so what God has called us to be are reflectors. See, when you know that God is doing it and that God is with you, and that if God didn't get involved in it, you'd have been messed up a long time ago. The reality of it is, that's a reflector's mindset. So that when people say, how did you do it? No, it ain't about me, honey. I didn't do anything, but look at what the Lord. See, a reflector understands that if you remove the light, you remove the reflection. The reflector ain't no good unless the light is shining on it. Turn to somebody and say, I'm a reflector. Look at them. Tell them, I'm not the light. Say, Jesus is the light. I'm just a reflector of Jesus. And the reality of it is everybody ought to know that you're a reflector. Don't tell some people you're a reflector and then tell other people you're the light. See, because it can confuse them. Because some people who don't know Jesus, when they see you reflecting his light, they think you're the light. And so they come to you, help me with this. They come to you, help me with that. And part of our biggest problem or one of our challenges is that's why we're so tired and so beat up. We are trying to help everybody else with their stuff and not trusting God to move for us. Because instead of us saying, listen, I'm just the one that reflects the light. The one that can really help you is the light itself. So let me introduce you to the light so that you don't get confused that I'm just simply a plain old reflector. Amen. Amen. Turn to somebody and say, humble yourself. See, grace helps us to understand who's in charge. If God woke you up this morning, that's grace. Oh, glory to God. Because somebody didn't wake up this morning. If you can get out of your, listen, if you have been able to retire and you still have money going into your bank account, guess what? That's by the grace of God. If you got a job to go to on Monday, that's by the grace of God. If you got clothes in your closet that you can wear, that's by the grace of God.
Thank you, Lord.
And nothing we have belong to us. Amen. And Job helps us understand that, because Job said that it is the Lord that giveth. And when you lose it, if you're a Christian, when you don't have it no longer, it is the Lord who taketh away. And so if he's the God who giveth and he's the God who taketh away, then God has a purpose when he glory to God. God has a purpose when he removes it from your life. I had an uncle. I got an uncle. When I was a little boy, back in the late 70s, he had a banana yellow Thunderbird. And those folks who were born in the 70s that lived through the 70s, it had a large big front. I mean, it was the coolest car in the world. I thought rich people owned this car. Because every time I saw my uncle and he wasn't driving it, he was washing it. And I mean, he'd wash it. He was one of those folks that it would take him all day long. He wouldn't drive it till the next day because from sun up to sundown, he would wash it, wax it, and then he'd drive it on the next day. I remember the day he got into an accident. You could have sold him for 2 cents because he loved his car. He would tell you he loved his car. And sometimes our challenge as believers, we become the lover of God's things, but not the lover of God. And so just like in a relationship, you know, God has to sometimes kick it up a notch. And so when you've gotten so comfortable that now you are no longer attracted to God, then God has to say, oh, I got to do something to help them see that I'm the one doing it. And so when God gives the enemy permission to move, guess what? It is under the authority of God. There's no power in the enemy's hand for the believer. So when God says, I want to take it, he then has a conversation. Come on, we have the story of Job. We know it's the Bible. We know it's true. Because God gave Job up. Job didn't volunteer for persecution. The enemy didn't say, well, what about Job? God said it. God said, you're going around messing with folks' stuff. Well, listen, have you thought about messing with Tamika? Have you thought about messing with Lawrence Brown or Bobby Guy? Have you thought about messing with Fran Harris or Shelly Harris or Ed Harris? Have you thought about messing with Anthony or Valerie? Whatever the name that plugs in. God will sometimes put you, help us, Lord Jesus. Oh, this is going to be tough right here. God will sometimes put you and I on the chopping block. To show us who he is. And as soon as the enemy draws back to chop us in half, God say, hold it. They got it now. See, if you're in here this morning and you've ever lost anything, glory to God, that was important to you. I mean that you had value in. And you lost it and your whole world felt like it was about to cave in. And before you gave in to the emotion of what was going on, you recognized who was still in control of your entire situation. Amen. And so God wants us. His grace. That's why his grace is so amazing, because it helps us to humble ourselves. Listen, I truly believe that whenever we communicate our experiences and successes, we should always remember to take notice of what God has done. How you got there? The Lord did it. Who gave it to you? The Lord did it. I know how much money you got. How you get it? The Lord did it. And see, what we have to understand is what money can't buy, God will do beyond what money can buy. And see, so some things, and listen, I'm not one of them folks that tell folks name it and claim it, because some stuff that you name is not the will of God for your life. Because if we be honest with ourselves, there's some stuff that we didn't name it and claim it, but God still gave it to us. And so if it was just in the name it and the claim it, there's a whole lot of stuff we would have. But yet God knows what we are in need of, the Bible says, before we ask. And so before we start kicking our brains into how we're going to solve this, we've got to go to God, because God is the one that's in control of all of this, that's pulling all the strings and pulling all the stops. And just when you think, listen, glory to God, just when you think that, Lord, this is it, I'm at my wits end, I can't go no more. And listen, in the last week, the last hour, the last minute, that's when God will do it. Why? Because he wants to push us to the very edge to see if we're going to trust him, even if we have to jump. Abraham took his son up to the mountain to kill him, because God said sacrifice him. And before he could, the moment he raised his knife up to sacrifice his son, God said stop. And then the sacrifice, he said, is over there in the bushes. Go get that lamb and sacrifice the lamb and not your son. But I'm going to tell you what God finds out about us, and what we find out about ourselves as God takes us through the process to humble us. What we find out about ourselves is who we say we are. We're not really that person. Oh, I'm faithful. Oh, I trust God. Oh, I love God. Oh, but the moment he pushed us to the edge, who we say we are, we find out very quickly, I messed up. I thought I was more than what I thought I was. So God shows us in the process of humbling us, not only who we are, but he also reveals himself to us and say, now, if you really want to become all that you say you are, here I am. Take me. Trust me. Because the only way you're going to get out of this is through me. Oh, glory to God. We don't like it when we're going through it. But the truth of the matter is, when God brings us out of a really challenging situation, we see him differently, and we also see ourselves. And it humbles us and makes us understand that God is the one who should be exalted, not us. That God is the one that should be elevated, not me, not you. And this will help us to keep a humble mindset when sharing with others what he has done in favor of what we have achieved. Listen, you might be the smartest person in the room, but you haven't gotten there on your own. And see, anybody that claims to have gotten there on their own is a liar. Look at what I've done. Look at this. Look at what I have. And I'm telling you, pride cometh before a great big fall. And I think all of us in here has experienced a pride falling. I think we have all experienced a pride falling. And the reality of it is God wants us to remain teachable. And he wants us to always remain in a place where we can receive what God says. And see, he also wants us to understand the authority that God puts in place. Can't no child just run up and choke their mama on the neck and drag them to the ground? No, because a child has to understand that their parent is their what? Authority. And so when God is teaching us how to be humble, don't misunderstand what I'm saying. He's not trying to teach us. Paul is simply saying he's not wanting us to focus on our sin and the stuff that we do. He wants us to focus on when God brings us out of it, how he expects us to respond in every single situation. Turn to somebody and say, humble yourself.
Humble yourself.
John chapter 12, Jesus was talking with his disciples as he was predicting his death. And he said to them, "And I, if I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all people to myself." He didn't say will draw all people to yourself. He said, "I will draw all people to myself." And so final word, glory to God. That's why God's grace is so amazing. And I love what John Newton writes in the song, "That saved a wretch like me." See, you have to understand who we are. And yeah, you know, we thought we had it going on before Jesus, but listen, we didn't have nothing. And the truth of the matter is, and it's in the song, it's in the hymn that we love, that presidents have sung. "I once was blind, but now I see." And so, we should live every minute of every day in total dependency on God. We should not be boastful. And I'm going to tell you something. This is going to challenge us. Final word. This is going to challenge us. Not even, we shouldn't be boastful, but we shouldn't even boast about the future. Amen. Because the Bible says that tomorrow is not promised. So it's our responsibility to be grateful for the day that God gives us. Because the truth of it is, that you can, listen, we used to be able to say, "Here today, gone tomorrow." But we're living in a world today that you can be here today and gone today. You could get up in the morning with a bunch of future plans and your time ends by the end of the day. And all of your future plans. See, so I just don't believe God just wants us to focus on our future. He wants us to walk in the present and trust him for the future. Amen. And of course we have to make plans. We got to make plans. But we make all of those plans under the direction of the Lord. Because just because you started don't mean you're going to finish it. You may start it and somebody else may, just like a relay race, may come alongside of you and your job is done. And they then may take it from that point. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. And so Jesus said that my grace is sufficient. I want you to understand that the grace of God is the unmerited favor of God that we receive at the point of salvation. And so grace is the goodness of God toward those, and I hope we get this right here, that really have no claim to it. That God's grace is the goodness of God, that we have no reason to expect it. But yet God freely gives his grace. And so how in the world can we be recipients of grace and then at any point try to make it all about us? Can't do it. Because God's favor is not just given to favorites. Oh, thank you, Lord Jesus. Because if that was the case, I'm talking about everybody in here, including myself, we would have never received the grace of God. If it weren't for what Jesus did for us. And so every head bow, every eye closed, let's stand right where you are. If you are here this morning and you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, I'm not talking about knowing his name. But I'm saying you don't know him in a personal way. You have not asked the Lord Jesus Christ to forgive you of your sins and to come into your heart. If I'm talking to you, I want you to pray this prayer, and you can pray it inside of yourself. And remember, words never saved anybody, so you've got to believe in what you are saying if you're going to receive Christ. If you're here and you don't know the Lord as your Savior, pray this prayer with me. And you can pray it inside of yourself. Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner who is in need of a Savior. I confess with my mouth that you are the Lord. And I believe in my heart that you died on Calvary's cross to save me from my sins. Now, Lord, come into my heart. Save me. Transform me. Make me your child. And then use me, Lord, to the glory of your name.
Yes, Lord.
Father, I thank you for saving me. And I thank you for your amazing favor.
Yes, Lord.
Toward me. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Every head bowed, every eye closed. If you prayed that prayer for the very first time, I want you to raise your hand up right where you are. You can raise it up and put it back down. The truth of the matter is there's no age requirement on this. You can't age out of salvation. And you're not too young to age into it. And so if you prayed that prayer for the very first time and you asked Jesus to come into your heart, raise your hand right where you are. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you for saving, for your saving grace.
Yes, Lord.
Now, if you're in here this morning and you don't have a church home, you don't have a place that you can call your place of worship, well, we want to invite you to become part of what God is doing here. And so if the Lord has put on your heart or speaking to your heart to join us in fellowship, you can raise your hand up and you can put it back down. Hallelujah. 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 Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I'm going to ask Sister Hutchins. Amen. Glory to God. Keep your hand up, sister. Amen. We want to get some information from you. Come on, let's give the Lord some praise. Amen. 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 Sister Hutchins will get some information from you. And you can stay right there and we'll get it and bring it right to you. Glory to God. Amen. Come on, let's give the Lord some praise. Amen. Now, if you're here this morning and you're just, Pastor, I'm in the middle of a very challenging situation in my life and I need the Lord's direction. If that's you, I want you to leave from your seat and come to this altar. We want to pray with you. If the Spirit is talking to you, glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Amen. 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 Do me a favor, Pastor Bobby. Move that so James, so Anthony doesn't have to stand up the entire time. Amen. Glory to God. Glory to God. If you're in need, and see, what we've got to understand is the grace of God is there to meet our need.
Yes. Yes.
Why would God show us unmerited favor? You got to understand, you can't work for this.
No.
This is out of your work requirement. This is out of your job description. You can't work for this. And so if there's something that you need the Lord to move in your life in a specific way, don't stay in your seat. Come to this altar. We want to pray that God would move with extreme authority.
Yes, he can do it. Thank you, Lord.
And there are people who are in here that know that he can do it.
Yes, he can. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord.
And so while you're at the altar, I'm going to give, it's the will of God that you, that God hears your prayer from your lips. You take a minute. You take a minute and talk to the Lord. Tell him what you need. Tell him what your need is. We're going to touch and agree with God's will that he would provide that thing that you're in need of. Hallelujah. You pray. You pray. If you're still at your seat and the Spirit has just popped something on your heart and in your mind, you can pray right where you are. Just you pray. Tell God what you don't have to come out of your seat for God to come to you. He can come to you.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen.
With us. Thank you, Lord.
And so ask the Lord.